endless men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. As always, I'm just so happy that you set aside this hour to listen to the message that I believe God has given me for us today. It's interesting to me that when I'm preaching the message and even in delivering it, I'm fully aware that what I preach is as much directed at me as it is for the listener. I don't preach one way and then live another. I want you to know that what I preach, I've already implemented into my own life or am in the daily process of implementing it. I believe I have a message this morning of deliverance and hope and excitement. And again, at least I know that it is for me, for my wife, for my children, and the rest of my family. There have been others who've been deeply entrenched and affected by the war that has been waged on the kingdom of God, which I and my family have been heavily engaged in. And I've already made them aware of developments yesterday. And I am indeed grateful for your prayers, for your support, for your encouragement in the battle that's been going on for more than 4 years now. I've said this before, and I think I should say it again. When men's governments declare war on someone, you're dealing with men and women whose lives and their livelihoods are all about destroying the lives of people. They get paid for it. It's their job. If these people were ruling, measuring the actions of people according to the measuring stick of the laws of God, then when pursuing a murderer, okay, when the murderer is found guilty according to the laws of God, the procedures laid out in Scripture on dealing with that sin, then of course, I mean, the murderer's life should be destroyed. And the men who carry out the act are compensated according to the laws of God. But we're talking about people who are in, quote, law enforcement business and not the, quote, law, or the, quote, law they're enforcing is, and I'd say over 90% of the time, maybe more, diametrically opposed to the laws of God. And they're enforcing arbitrary, capricious, ever-changing statutes that make criminals out of themselves. And many times the ones they're attacking are the innocent. Attacking the innocent, oppressing the poor are two of the gravest sins against Yahweh that are listed in the Scripture. But these people have unlimited resources to carry out their vindictive and, in my cases, selective persecution with ungodly vendettas armed with guns. And I'm just a man trying to live by the laws of God. I've got very little resources to put up a fight. I mean, I have to continue or try to continue on with life the best I can, putting food on the table, for instance, and carry on in a war that I did not choose. They declared war on me, and I'm simply fighting and standing for the basis, the basic tenets of the faith once delivered to the saints. Well, why don't you just roll over and die like Yeshua did, Charlie? Well, really? Well, the short, simple answer is this. I'm not Yeshua. He did that. He laid down his life in fulfillment of the prophecies, and he did so that his followers would not be required to do the same thing. Willing to? Well, if it comes to it, of course. At the end of the Old Covenant world, He was the sinless Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world to give his life to atone for the sins of all those from Adam to the cross. With his death, burial, and resurrection, he ascended to the throne in mighty fashion, and he was then revealed a short time later, exactly the way the scriptures foretold, as the all-conquering, all-powerful King of Kings and Lord of Lords, where he put all things under his feet. He conquered all the nations, all the governments of the world. My goodness, friends, the Roman Empire was considered a one-world government during the time of Christ, and blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He made a show of them openly. He made an exhibit. He made a specimen openly, spoiling principalities and powers. And once again, our language, our new speak, has robbed us of what it was that our Lord did when he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I know that most of us, when we hear the word spoil, we think of rotten eggs or rotten milk, I mean, food spoiling or something like that. But not so in 1828, at least until you get to the least of the definitions. I mean, more than 200 years closer to the writing of English Bibles than we are, Noah Webster said this about the word spoil. I mean, I want you to listen to these definitions in light of our Lord spoiling principalities and powers. And surely I don't need to give definitions for principalities and powers before I read this, right? I mean, we're talking about man's governments. We're talking about the Roman Empire, one world man's governments. All right, spoil, 1828 Webster's. To pull asunder, to tear, to strip, to peel, to plunder, to strip by violence, to rob with of, as to spoil one of his goods or possessions. My sons, their old unhappy sire despise, spoiled of his kingdom and deprived of eyes. To seize by violence, to take by force, as to spoil one's goods. This mount with all his verdure spoiled, to corrupt, to cause to decay and perish. Heat and moisture will soon spoil vegetable and animal substances. To corrupt, to vitiate, to mar. Spiritual pride spoils many graces, to ruin, to destroy. Our crops are sometimes spoiled by insects, to render useless by injury, as to spoil paper by wetting it, to injure fatally, as to spoil the eyes by reading, end quote. Yes, this is what our Lord did to principalities and powers. This is what our Lord did to all the enemies of his father's law, statutes, and judgments. I've made this many clear. I've made this very clear many times before, that if you want to identify with the suffering, persecuted, hanging on a cross Messiah, well, I can't and I won't stand in your way. But if you want to identify with the all-conquering, all-powerful, reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords and fight the good fight of faith that you could, so that you could lay hold to the crown of life, then I will not stand in your way, but I'll lock arms with you and we'll fight together, praise God. Continuing with Webster's Dictionary, 1828, the word spoil. To practice plunder or robbery, outlaws which lurking in woods used to break forth to rob and spoil, to decay, to lose the valuable qualities, to be corrupted, as fruit will soon spoil in warm weather, grain will spoil if gathered when wet or moist. That which is taken from others by violence, particularly in war, the plunder taken from an enemy, pillage, booty, that which is gained by strength or effort, earth science and each art his spoil, or each science and each art his spoil. That which is taken from another without license, gentle gales fanning their odoriferous wings, dispense native perfumes and whisper whence they stole their balmy spoils. The act or practice of plundering, robbery, waste. The man that hath not music in himself, nor is not moved with concord and sweet sounds, is fit for treason, stratagems, and spoils. Corruption, cause of corruption, villainous company hath been the spoil of me. the slough or cast skin of a serpent or other animal. End quote. Quite obviously, I'm not at all saying or insinuating that the evil definitions of spoil are available to us. Not at all. I can certainly see the enemies of Christ taking what I just said or what I just read word for word from Noah Webster's dictionary and trying to twist and turn those words against me, but not for the believer who sees things in light of the good and the holy. When applying Webster's definition to the works of Christ, it's talking about bringing down the enemies of Christ, the enemies of Yahweh. It's talking about, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. It's talking about living a life of obedience to the faith once delivered to the saints and preaching the kingdom of God and demanding that all men everywhere bow the knee and confess with the mouth that Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Christ, is Lord to the glory of God. Now, I said all that to say this. On Tweezdag this past week, my wife and I drove to Springfield, Missouri and delivered some documents to the Southern Court of Appeals for Missouri. I want you to know that I wrestled with this whole concept for many months before I did what I did. I was concerned that some people might think that I was putting my trust in the very courts and court system that I preach against. But the night before we left, I had just a calm assurance come over me. I believe that God used two of my dearest, closest friends to assure me that this was the right thing to do. Within just a couple days of each other, Jeff and Michael both were just quite emphatic with me that I deliver the papers. The papers were my written testimony. The papers were my testimony made public for everyone to access, to see, and to read of my walk in the kingdom of Christ. Well, there are a few things in the document where I demanded that these people obey their own statutes, and I pointed out what those were. They have proven to me hundreds of times already that they abhor God's laws. So while I certainly included God's laws in my document, I demanded that they be held to their own laws as well. For those of you who are new to our ministry, there are certain agents and actors within the state of, and I put state of in quotes, what is named Missouri, who've been trying to put me in prison, and some have said for the rest of my life, because I murdered someone? Because I stole from someone? Because I raped someone? No, I want you to listen very closely. When I was arrested on what the world calls December 10, 2015, by Missouri State Highway Patrolman Kelsey Rutledge, he looked at me and said, "You are not here because of your ID. You are not here because of the tags on your car. I arrested you because of the books on your website," end quote. Well, the books on my website are nothing more, nothing less than a plea for those who call themselves followers of Christ to look at Bible prophecy from the understanding that all of it, every single bit of it, just like Christ said in his day in Luke 21:22, "For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." Well, you might say, "Charlie, why do you quote that verse so many times?" Well, it's because it's so simple. It's so easy to read and understand that even little children get it. Well, I do wish the KJV translators would have stayed faithful to Coverdale, who wrote it like this: "For these are the days of vengeance, that everything which is written may be fulfilled." But either way, it's simple. It's easy to understand if we'll just believe the words of Christ and let him be true and every man a liar. The books on my website then deal with the implications of the understanding that all Bible prophecy has been fulfilled. The implication being that Christ died, was buried, and rose again. And with his resurrection, according to Acts 2:29-36, he ascended to the throne of David in fulfillment of the Davidic covenant, and his kingdom was established in the first century. As a result of the establishment of his kingdom, no man anywhere on the face of God's creation is ordained or allowed by God to set up a government where Yahweh is not king and Yahweh's laws are not the laws. Anyone who sets up a government or allows a government to be set up for them, who refuses to use the laws of God exclusively as their law book, is a usurper, a rebeller, and is ultimately the enemy of God. And that's what's on my website. That is the Word of God taught and explained from the perspective that the kingdom of God was set up in the first century. The holy nation of God was established according to 1 Peter chapter 2. And it was named the Commonwealth of Israel in Ephesians chapter 2. And I make no apologies for living and preaching these truths. And for this, war was declared on me by these men in Lawrence County, Missouri. This has been going on now for more than 4.5 years. And I believe it's been 7 or 8 times where they had trial dates set, and each time the dates were canceled and rescheduled for reasons unbeknown to me. Back in what the world calls November, you'll have to fill in the rest of your mind. I've already said one of their month names, and I just can't do it again. But months back, I had called for a, quote, hearing to address the crux of the 14, quote, charges that have been affecting my body. And that is that because I refuse to use a name that's on a U.S. birth certificate, whenever they have seen me use my name, Charlie Stewart, they have defined the mere usage of my name as felony forgery. For instance, back in 2014, I bought a car in Arkansas. I paid this man cash for the car, and on his Arkansas title, which includes a bill of sale, he wrote that he said, or that he sold the car to Charlie Stewart. Because my name, Charlie Stewart, was on the bill of sale for my car, the persecutors in Lawrence County, Missouri, made up charges that affected my body and called them felony forgery. I've been telling these people for more than 4 years, 4.5 years, that I changed my name because of my faith. I changed my name because I was convicted in my heart that part of the process of being born again was dying, then being reborn as a new creation, whereby old things have passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I've shared with you in the past concerning the word behold, as it is in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Behold, wow, what a concept. Behold the mighty works of God. He took a worthless sinner, condemned to die, and washed him and made him clean and made him whole and put new clothes on him and gave him a new name, a fresh start in life, and even calls him son. What a concept. Indeed worthy of the powerful word, behold. Well, I've told them literally hundreds of times that I changed my name in obedience to my Lord. I want you to know that I made a mistake along the way. And should you ever be in the situation that I'm in, I don't want you to make the same mistake. Here it is. How many times have you used the words common law? In my own life, I use the words common law interchangeably with God's law. I've always thought that everyone understood common law to be God's law. Well, this past week, I asked arguably one of, if not the most brilliant men today concerning the law of God as contained in the scripture, what he thought the, quote, common law is. And he responded simply, God's law. For you and me, sure, God's law is supposed to be common to every man. Every man is supposed to obey God's law because it's common. It's the same for all men. William Blackstone, in his Commentaries on the Laws of England, said, quote, that the laws of nature were written by God and were supplemented by the Holy Scriptures. This law of nature being dictated by God himself is, of course, superior in obligation to any other. It's binding over all the globe, in all countries, and at all times. No human laws are of any validity if contrary to this, end quote. For more than 40 years, I've been going through life believing that this, or similar, is the definition of common law. Within the last 2 or 3 months, I've come to the grave understanding that in their system, in their court system, this is not the definition of common law. And for us, as followers of Christ, to even use the phrase common law, we may be making a very big mistake. In fact, I'll just say it. I believe we should stop using it, and we should expose it for what it really is. And when we're talking about Yahweh's law, we need to be very open, very public, and very forthright that is exactly what we're talking about. Well, just type in the phrase common law in any search engine and then be prepared to be shocked by what you read. Quote, common law, the part of English law that is derived from custom and judicial precedent rather than statutes, often contrasted with statutory law, the body of English law as adopted and modified separately by the different states of the U.S. and by the federal government, denoting a partner in a marriage by common law which recognized unions created by mutual agreement and public behavior, not by a civil or ecclesiastical ceremony, end quote. There have been times where I was in their court setting, And I said that I changed my name via the common law. And I did this because I thought I was saying to them, hey, even parts of your laws are God's laws and you need to obey them. So when I was saying common law, they weren't hearing anything related to God's laws. They were hearing common law as in their court decisions and customs. And of course, we know that hardly any of their court decisions and customs bring honor and glory to the King of Heaven. So I would encourage you to try not to persuade people towards the quote common law. Instead, always refer to God's laws as recorded in the scriptures. Now, on the very Courts of Missouri website, there's a page called Name Change. And on that page, it says, as clear as a nose on your face, that in Missouri, name change occurs via the quote common law. But since I was operating from a completely different paradigm, I didn't put two and two together on this issue. In the paragraph discussing common law name change, not a single word of scripture is referenced. But instead, what is? Of course, their court decisions. See Neal versus Neal regarding name change. Well, from their understandings, Neal versus Neal does indeed say that a man's name is a name by which he's known in the community. Then it says that, quote, court decision holding disposition of the case is called, quote, in the matter of Natal. And in the matter of Natal, though not quoting one single passage of scripture, it still holds that a man can change his name at will and without resorting to man's courts. Now, before I tell you what happened this week, I'm sorry that for some of you this is going to be boring and you've heard it so many times before you could probably fill in the text yourself. But I believe it's important for me to read excerpts of the document that I submitted, and then I'm going to tell you what happened this week. The document is called a writ of prohibition, and it's called that because I'm asking the court that is above the court in Lawrence County to prohibit it from their continued persecution of me because no law's been violated, not God's law, not their, quote, laws. And again, for those of you who've heard this 100 times, just please bear with me. We've got a lot of new listeners, and I want them to hear this, okay? Now, there's a cover page and then an index page. And then the text begins like this, quote, comes now Charlie Stewart in support of his petition for writ of prohibition states as follows. The court has erred in ruling that petitioner cannot lawfully change his name without government approval. Petitioner lawfully changed his name 20 years ago and has used only his new name ever since. Because he does not use a name on a state-issued birth certificate, the state has charged petitioner with felony forgery. The state's case rests solely upon the courts having ruled in plain error that the petitioner has unlawfully changed his name. Therefore, petitioner asked the court to issue the writ of prohibition ending the state's prosecution against petitioner for felony forgery. The facts. Number one, Lawrence County Circuit Court Judge Mark A. Stevens on 11/27/2019 made the following ruling concerning what a man's name is. Quoted from transcript page 4, last line, continuing through page 5. Judge Stevens, okay, and so somewhere between birth and now, did you ever get your name legally changed? Charlie Stewart, yes, sir. Judge Stevens, and where did you do that? Charlie Stewart, I did it via the common law. Judge Stevens. Oh, okay, well, that is not a recognized way in the state of Missouri for you to lawfully and legally change your name. So, here in the state of Missouri, until you go through the statutory procedure for a name change, which is set forth in the statute, for the purposes of this case and these cases and today's hearing and all future hearings, your name is Charles Lee Johnson. Now, Johnson's not the name I was born with, but I don't use the name that I was given at birth. So I'm not even going to say it while I'm reading it in my message. So he says, all future hearings, your name is Charles Lee Johnson, okay? Charlie Stewart, no, sir. Judge Stevens, that's my ruling. Charlie Stewart, that's not correct. Judge Stevens, it is correct. If you don't agree with my ruling, here's your option. Here's your option. You can file with the Southern District Court of Appeals a writ of mandamus or a writ of prohibition. Those are your options. Continuing to take the position in my courtroom that your name is something other than Charles Lee Johnson is not one of your options. End quote. All right, point number two. Beginning with the Courts of Missouri website, and then I provide the URL. The very Courts of Missouri website states clearly that in Missouri there are three ways to effect a name change, and one of them is via a common law. It is via common law. Quote: number one is part of another proceeding. Number two by common law. Number three by a separate legal action. And then I attached a copy of the Courts of Missouri website so that they could see this. Point three, in 941 SW2D501, Melissa J. Neal, blah, 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 versus Bruce L. Neal, blah, 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 the Supreme Court of Missouri in bank, and E-N-B-A-N-C, and I've since understood that in bank means that every single one of the judges agreed. There wasn't any dissenting judges. So they all agreed. The entire Missouri Supreme Court already established for Missouri, quote, in reversing the judgment, the Court of Appeals provided historical background of the common law right to change name regardless of marital status. The court noted that the common law and statutory methods of changing names coexist for the reason that no constitutional or statutory mandate has invalidated the common law. Point four. Neal is then referred to the matter of Natal, which held disposition in the case. Quote, petitioner chose to petition for a court-ordered name change under section 527.270. Okay, in other words, the petitioner in Neal versus Neal went to court to statutorily change her name, okay, rather than use the common law method to change her name. What has previously been said in reference to petitioner's common law right to change names, therefore, simply confirms petitioner's right to utilize the statutory procedure for changing names. And then it lists that statute again, which is its counterpart, do not abrogate and are merely supplemental to the common law method of name change. Under the common law, the change of name is accomplished by usage or habit. And under the statutory method, the change is accomplished by court order and public record. All right, the issue of what a man's name is has long been settled in America and in England. An excellent history is found in Smith versus United States Casualty Company, blah, 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 and has been cited more than 160 times since. Quote, the elementary writers are uniform in laying down the rule that at common law, a man may change his name at will. Mr. Throckmorton, in his article on names in the Cyclopedia of Law and Procedure, says, it is custom for persons to bear the surnames of their parents, but it is not obligatory. A man may lawfully change his name without resort to legal proceedings. And listen now, and for all purposes, the name thus assumed will constitute his legal name just as much as if he had borne it from birth. So, a writer in the American English Encyclopedia of Law says, at common law, a man may lawfully change his name by general usage or habit, acquire another name that... another name than that originally borne by him. And this, without the intervention of either the sovereign, the courts, or parliament, and the common law, unless changed by statute, of course, obtains in the United States. One may legally name himself, or change his name, or acquire a name by reputation, general usage, and habit. End quote. Point five. As recently as 2016, in addressing this very issue of name change in Missouri, Christy A. Schmidt, Chief Counsel, Region 7, Social Security Administration, blah, 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 blah. And here, again, I'll explain this in a minute. This was in their decision on name change guidance based on same-sex marriage. Date, November 12, 2015, quote, Missouri recognizes both common law and statutory methods of changing one's name. Under the common law, the change of name is accomplished by usage or habit, and under the statutory method, the change is accomplished by court order and public record. The primary difference between the two methods is, therefore, the speed and certainty of the change of name under the statutory procedure. Thus, following marriage, a person may change his or her name under common law by the usage of the desired new name. The common law right to change one's name was never limited to males, indeed. It was through this common law method that a woman changed her surname to that of her husband after marriage. And even this thing says to see Neal versus Neal, which was the Missouri Supreme Court en banc affirming Natal. End quote. Now, on with my petition. Who is the author of this petition? My name is Charlie Stewart. That is my only name. It is not an alias. It is not an also known as. It is an only known as. I am the author of this petition. I'm not an attorney. I'm not pro se. I'm not representing myself. I have not, nor ever will, waive counsel. For me, waiving counsel would be foolish and sinful, Proverbs 11:14. I have been denied the assistance of counsel by the Lawrence County courts four times, and I'm being forced to try to defend myself in a system I am woefully ignorant of. At birth, my parents named me Charles Lee Johnson. Until the approximate age of 37 years, I went by my birth name. By that time, I'd been a follower of Jesus Christ for 32 years. At age 5, I gave my life to be a follower of Jesus Christ. At age 12, I surrendered my life to full-time Christian service and ministry. I've been a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ for more than 35 years. My ministry is that of an evangelist and missionary. I preach on the radio once a week. The message is live-streamed and archived on my website with my many other sermons, books, articles, and links. I've always endeavored to seek and find a greater and deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, a desire to grow more in the knowledge of Christ even more than the day before. I do not claim any earthly citizenship. I live by the following biblical passage from Hebrews 11:1-16, verses 13-16 cited, quote, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city." I'm not a member of any so-called sovereign citizen movement. I believe only in the sovereignty of God and have placed that truth on the record and in my many writings and sermons and have preached against the so-called sovereign citizen ideology. I am just a man who's tried to follow the teachings of the Bible to the very best of my understanding and apply them to my own life, same as United States citizens should be doing according to their own public law 97-280, 97th Congress. And then I put the attachment there. That's the public law that Ronald Reagan put in where he was encouraging all the U.S. citizens to apply and obey the teachings of the scripture. Around the year 2000, I began studying and meditating anew on the Bible topic, you must be born again, as found in John 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Questions as to why so many notable men found in the pages of the Holy Word of God changed their names began to cause new, deeper understandings within me. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, Ephesians 4:21 through 24. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the ecclesias. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. These are but a few of the many scriptures that cause me to conclude that for me, in my walk with Jesus Christ, changing my name was an act of obedience that my Lord and King was calling me to. I chose Charlie, a steward of Jesus Christ, and I go by Charlie Stewart. No matter the threats, the jailings, or persecutions, I will not return to the name of the old man that was crucified with Christ. As an adult, I have never taken anything from the U.S. or the various states' governments. At a very young age, I purposed in my heart, as Daniel from the Bible did, that I would not defile myself with the king's meat, Daniel 1:8. And I have followed John's example, who, quote, took nothing from the Gentiles, 3 John 3:7. While being held in the Lawrence County Jail on two separate occasions, 13 days and 42 days, I fasted all 13 and 41 out of the 42. This is not a game for me. This is my faith. And I will not turn my back on my faith. I'm ready to lay down my life for Christ if I have to. There was no nefarious reason for my name change. These are my deeply held religious beliefs, and no man has the right to deprive me of them. Yet I've been mocked, charged, and jailed by agents of Missouri from Lawrence County, and they seem intent on imprisoning me because I do not use a name on a state-issued birth certificate. Incidentally, a state-issued birth certificate that I have never seen, used, or possessed in my adult life. The alleged crimes of felony forgery. In the summer of 2014, I purchased a car from James Ennis in Springdale, Arkansas. I paid Mr. Ennis $7,500 in exchange for the car. Mr. Ennis listed the following names on the bill of sale: Charlie Stewart and or Linda C. Huff. Linda C. Huff is my mother. Around January of 2016, my mother went to the Missouri Department of Motor Vehicles in Aurora, Missouri to register and title the car solely in her name. Accompanying her application and payment was a form 5062 required by the DMV stating that the VIN number matched the vehicle. The form comes from an inspection station. I wrote my name, Charlie Stewart, at the bottom of the completed form where a signature is requested. The Lawrence County prosecutor deemed the fact that my chosen name was on the form for my car felony forgery. See attachment information, page 39. My mother took the form 5062 along with $781.01 and applied for title and registration solely in her name. And then I attached the receipt. And as you can plainly see, neither my name or the name the state alleges to be mine is even on the receipt. Apparently, count one, felony forgery, the charge is simply because my chosen name was on the bill of sale for my car. Due to the vagueness of the information, one can only surmise, end quote. There's a specific reason why I put this little jab in there. The U.S. capital C, capital O, capital N institution says that people charged with felonies are supposed to have grand jury indictments. Well, not so. They use these things called, quote, informations. And the reality is these, quote, informations are so vague, many times you can't even tell what they're charging you with. I mean, their, quote, law then says that an information is supposed to be so detailed that there could be no mistake as to what you're being charged with. So not only is there no biblical mandate for two eyewitnesses to a sin, and we really should not be calling sins crimes, because the only thing that could ever lawfully be classified as a crime is sin, which is a violation of God's laws, period. But they many times have no eyewitnesses, not even one, let alone two, but they use these vague informations so they can start an action against someone, and it's not right. All right, back to the document. After approximately 2 weeks, the new title and registration did not arrive. I began making phone calls as to the whereabouts of the paperwork, and I made calls to the Aurora branch and the Department of Revenue in Jefferson City and did not receive answers as to the whereabouts or status of the documents. I then took the receipt and went to the branch in Aurora. The worker there informed me that I needed to contact Troop D of the Missouri Highway Patrol, and she wrote a number on the receipt and told me to contact Trooper Darren Call. When I called the number, Call referred me to the Lawrence County Prosecutor's Office saying that the application for title had been, quote, intercepted by the Prosecutor's Office and that I would need to contact them. I called the Prosecutor's Office and did not receive any information. Subsequent to my phone call to the Prosecutor's Office, I was made aware that two felony forgery charges had been filed against Charles L. Johnson, which is not my name, legal or otherwise, but nonetheless affected and continues to affect my body. I was arrested for the two felony charges filed against Charles L. Johnson. The information in the charges is procedurally vague and defective, but I have properly deduced that one of the felony forgery charges is simply because my chosen name was on the bill of sale for my lawfully purchased car, and the other is because my name was on the inspection notice, each in relation to my own car. Unable to hire an attorney subsequent to the arrest, I filed documents demanding a dismissal of these charges in 2017. I've requested for the motion to be ruled upon twice, and as of this filing, 2020, my documents have not been ruled on. The hearing on 11/27/2019 was supposed to be concerning these documents, but Mark A. Stevens made his ruling without giving me the opportunity to be heard. And then I put where it was in the transcript where that judge said, I've made my ruling. I said, you're not even going to hear my argument? And he said, I've made my ruling, period. Part 37 of the document. My documents give a detailed history of names, change of names, and laws concerning names, some of which came from Courts of Missouri, originating from the Courts of Missouri website. My argument, regardless of the reasons for the name change, are that a man is free to change his name without going to court, and that no man is bound or obligated to keep the name given to him at birth by his parents. This has already been settled by the Supreme Court of Missouri, and I listed what it was, Neal versus Neal. In 2015, the United States Supreme Court in Obergefell versus Hodges stated that, quote, under the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment, no state shall deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. The fundamental liberties protected by this clause include most of the rights enumerated in the Bill of Rights. In addition, now listen, these liberties extend to certain personal choices central to individual dignity and autonomy, including intimate choices that define personal identity and beliefs, end quote. Now, as of today, no one's called me on the carpet for holding them to this Obergefell versus Hodges. On one hand, I'm glad, because that means that my listeners could care less about their court decisions, which is great. But on the other hand, I want to remind you what Obergefell versus Hodges is, because you'll know once I tell you, okay? It's the 2015, quote, Supreme Court case that legalized sodomite marriages. And I used it because I want to hang it around their necks. Your country says that sodomites are perfectly free to choose their, quote, identity and have the full force of your, quote, law. But a Christian man following Christ is jailed and tortured because his identity is placed solely in Christ. Wow, amazing. All right, back to the document. Unless there is some legalese definition of any person that the common man is unaware of, I have to assume that even though I claim no earthly citizenship, I am still one of any person guaranteed the basic human right to the personal choices central to individual dignity and autonomy, including intimate choices that define personal identity and beliefs, which would certainly include the right to be identified by his chosen name because of his deeply held religious convictions. In what was supposed to have been a hearing for dismissal of the charges, Mark A. Stevens refused to hear my arguments, but instead ruled that in Missouri, a man's legal name is only that which appears on his own state-issued birth certificate, period. See attachment transcripts, page 4. By his reasoning, every single woman in the state of Missouri that has taken her husband's name by marriage would be guilty of felony forgery every time she used a name other than the one that appears on her state-issued birth certificate. No woman goes to court to change her name statutorily after marriage. By his reasoning, every single robber that signs his name Bob has committed the crime of felony forgery. That this is ridiculous should be self-evident. A woman's name is changed when she gets married via the common law by usage of the new name. Robert can legally sign his name Bob via the common law. And ironically, while adamantly telling me that my name is Charles Lee Johnson, because that is the name on a state-issued birth certificate, in the very next statement he rules, your name is Charles L. Johnson. Well, that is not the name they said was even on the state-issued birth certificate. But it's the common law that says it's acceptable through usage to use a middle initial in place of the middle name. Of course, name change via common law is in effect. The reality is that the overwhelming number of name changes that occur in Missouri and elsewhere today are accomplished via the common law method of usage and habit. Changing one's name by habit and usage in Missouri is, in Missouri, a legal name change, and that's how most name changes occur today. Most people, including those in the legal profession, are confused, thinking that a legal name change only occurs when the statutory method is used. This is not true. Common law name change and statutory name change are both, quote, legal name changes. Courts have made this clear on numerous occasions. And then I cite another one of their courts for them to look at. It's actually a federal thing where it said, under the common law, a person may freely change his or her name without any legal formalities. All right, the next point. Even though I'm not a U.S. citizen, if I were, I am still, as a man, guaranteed certain rights. First and foremost, the right to choose my identity, which includes the right to use a name that I believe my Father in Heaven wants me to use. My chosen name was on the bill of sale for my car, and my body is being held to answer for felony forgery charges because I do not use a name that was on a state-issued birth certificate. I've told the state's agents hundreds of times, literally, since December of 2015, that my name is Charlie Stewart. From the arrest to the jailing to every single time I've been forced into court, I've told them that my name is Charlie Stewart. When I bonded out of jail and signed my name, Charlie Stewart, on the bond release form, I was threatened with another felony forgery charge because I put my name, Charlie Stewart, on the jail form. The bondsman came to my home and asked me to put the words Charles Johnson on a new jail release form in order to keep from being sent back to jail on a new forgery charge. The prosecutor's threats are the consequence of woeful ignorance concerning what a man's name is. This has resulted in what amounts to the unlawful persecution of the innocent, and it must cease and desist in Lawrence County, Missouri. These threatenings amount to nothing less than official oppression and extortion. The very first time I appeared before Judge Jack A. Goodman on these charges, a most ironic conversation took place. He said to me, quote, I understand that you prefer to be called Charlie Stewart. I answered, yes, that is correct. That is my name. He then said that I will do my best to remember to call you Charlie Stewart. And if I forget, you just remind me and I will correct myself and call you Charlie Stewart. Is that fair? I answered, absolutely. In response to this court conversation, Assistant Prosecutor Joseph Wantuck filed an objection demanding that Judge Goodman not call me by my chosen name in court. And then I included the objection in the document here. This objection demonstrated either a blatant disregard for Missouri statutes or a woeful ignorance of established law concerning what a man's name is. Missouri has a statute. It's called 2016 Missouri Revised Statutes, blah, 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 title, section, criminal procedure, blah, blah, blah. And it's the section is called Indictment by Wrong Name. The statute states, quotes 545.230, if a defendant be indicted by the wrong name, unless he declare his true name before pleading, he shall be proceeded against by the name in the indictment. If he allege that another name is his true name, it must be entered in the minutes of the court, and after such entry, the trial and all other proceedings on the indictment shall be had against him by that name, referring also to the name by which he is indicted, in the same manner in all respects and with the same consequences as if he had been indicted by his true name. In Mr. Wantuck's objection, he erroneously claims that a man can lose his common law right to name change through a, quote, doctrine of unclean hands. Beginning with Neal versus Neal, then in the matter of Natal, Missouri Eastern Court of Appeals, Natal references a case called State versus Harvey F. Huge. In Huge, and this is a Missouri Supreme Court case, another decision in which the entire court was in agreement, is an excellent resource for understanding names, change of names, and the law of names, and that no such crimes exist merely for the use of a name. History of Huge. Harvey F. Huge lived in St. Louis, Missouri in the 1950s and 60s and was a known criminal. In one of his arrests, he was arrested for using a name other than his name given at birth in his dealings with the banks St. Louis and Manchester. He was convicted, then overturned on appeal. The grand jury indictment read, the said Harvey F. Huge, at the time unlawfully, feloniously, and with intent to cheat and defraud, did obtain the aforesaid money and property from Bank of St. Louis Incorporated, a corporation, and the defendant knew at the time he tendered the said check that the name, Dayton Mitchell Horn, was in fact the name of a fictitious person, and that the aforesaid check was bogus, contrary to Section 561.450, in such case made and provided against the peace and dignity of the state, end quote. Now, the facts are that Huge attempted to perpetuate a fraud against the Bank of St. Louis, and in doing so, assumed the name Dayton Mitchell Horn. The court ruled correctly that the crime, if one was committed, was in the attempt to steal money from the bank, not in the fact that Huge assumed the name Horn as part of his scheme. They all concurred in Huge, Missouri Supreme Court, and stated, quote, a person may assume a different name from his true one and make contracts under his fictitious name. In the case before us, defendant opened an account under the name Dayton Mitchell Horn by depositing $40 cash in the Manchester Bank. He subsequently drew a check in the amount of $45 on said account and signed it with the name Dayton Mitchell Horn. Defendant had authority to sign the name Dayton Mitchell Horn to the check, end quote. In Neal, the court stated that, quote, contracts entered under fictitious names are valid in themselves. These courts made it clear that even the use of fictitious names, and in instances where those fictitious names were being used to perpetuate a crime, the use of the names themselves does not constitute a crime. In my case, my name is not even fictitious. My chosen name is my real name, and appearing on the bill of sale for my car is not criminal, nor is using my chosen name on an inspection form for the VIN number of my car a crime. Judge Goodman was correct in calling me by my name in court. He should have directed the prosecutor to either correct the errors in the charging documents because my chosen name was not included, a violation of 545.230, and or dismiss the legally impossible charges of felony forgery because I assumed a name later in life, which is not a crime. I've declared to them hundreds of times, literally, that my name is Charlie Stewart, yet they will not obey the statute or the laws. I have not just alleged that my name is Charlie Stewart. That is my name, my only name. Relief sought. I am asking the appeals court to force the Circuit Court of Lawrence County to dismiss the felony forgery charges affecting me because I use a name other than the name on a state-issued birth certificate. The ruling made by Mark A. Stevens is not correct. Okay. Now, there's another paragraph here titled, I will be irreparably damaged if you fail to act. If you do not require them to obey clearly established law concerning what a man's name is, they're going to continue to cause me and my family irreparable damage. I do not have the money to hire an attorney, yet they are forcing me to proceed without counsel. And should they be allowed to reach trial, they will make sure that a jury finds me guilty and they will sentence me to further imprisonment, as I have no idea to effectively defend myself from these erroneous charges in the court system, regardless of the facts and the law. Very early in the proceedings affecting me, Associate Judge Robert George told me while watching me flail around miserably in court attempting to question a witness, quote, have you ever seen the game show Jeopardy? Well, this is a lot like Jeopardy and you have to know how to play the game, end quote. Well, I do not know how to play this game. I'm completely innocent of these erroneous charges, but have no idea how to make them obey their own law concerning names. I do not have money to pay for assistance of counsel and have repeatedly told them this for more than 4 years now. It is my belief, after going through this relentless persecution for more than 4 years, the prosecutor's office in Lawrence County is on a mission to railroad me, regardless of the facts and the law. One judge has been recused, a new judge now sits. I told Mark Stevens that a correct ruling on the name is vital because the heart of the issue is my name. Judge Stevens then asked the prosecutors if this was true, and I give them where they can find this in the transcript. Assistant Prosecutor Matthew Casper's reply was, no, not at all, Your Honor. I'm just going to keep reading the writ. It is my belief that this was an attempt to deceive the new judge and was fraud upon the court. Assistant Prosecutor Joseph Wantuck has already filed a motion to joinder in which he stated, quote, each of these offenses are based on the same underlying facts, on the defendant's assumption of a false identity as Charlie Stewart and on acts of forgery associated with that false identity. And then I included his motion for joinder at the end of these documents. There have been quite a few other actions these prosecutors have engaged in that indicts them as not being interested in fairness or justice, but only in a conviction, including allowing perjured testimony and numerous due process violations, of which I'm willing to testify to my claims. Next paragraph, reasons the court should issue this writ of prohibition. Judge Mark A. Stevens is incorrect in his judgment that a man's name is a name that appears on a state-issued birth certificate, and he cannot use another unless he undergoes a statutory method of name change. I've been charged with multiple felony forgeries because I use a name other than one that appears on a state-issued birth certificate, and this is wrong. Not being an attorney and unable to afford one, the judge himself told me that my option was to file a writ of mandamus or prohibition so that the Southern District Court of Appeals could sort this out because, quote, one of us is right and one of us is wrong. Conclusion. We live in a time where someone that was born as a man can demand that society consider him as a woman if he so demands, and that individual many times has the force of law behind him to compel others to call him a woman even though he was born with male genitalia. Does the, quote, common law right to change one's name apply only to transgenders and homosexuals, or does it equally apply to everyone? I'm a man who claims his identity to be solely and completely in the teachings of Jesus Christ, and by clear example of many men in the Word of God, changed his name through usage and habit, and I've been charged with multiple felonies. Make no mistake about this, this persecution is because the prosecutors in Lawrence County disregard my deeply held religious beliefs, and their willful prejudice has blinded them to a failure to accept the understanding of what a man's name is, established from antiquity. Don Trotter and I have some mutual friends as we lived in close proximity to each other at one time. Mr. Trotter told a mutual friend of ours, quote, this is about my God versus Charlie's God. Muslim men have for many years in America changed their names without going to court for religious reasons, and they've been heralded as heroes and champions. But a Christian man who alleges his name, who changes his name because he does so in obedience to Christ's commands, is jailed and tortured. Muhammad, if Muhammad Ali can change his name without court proceedings, and Harvey F. Huge had authority to sign the name Dayton Mitchell Horn while trying to steal money from a bank in Missouri, then I certainly have the authority to have my chosen name used on the bill of sale for my car. The Southern District Court of Appeals in Missouri may not agree with my religious convictions. The 39th Circuit Court of Missouri may not agree with my religious convictions. But none of you have a right to infringe, impugn, or prohibit my deeply held religious convictions, especially when my convictions have injured no one. I have an absolute right to use a name of my choosing. In order for a forgery to take place, there must be an intent to defraud another. Not only was there no forgery, there was no intent to defraud. The reality is the only ones that have been defrauded is my mother and me, who paid $781.01 to the DMV for a Missouri title and registration. And to this date, she has neither received the paperwork, nor has she received her money back, nor has the car been returned. In Joseph Wantuck's vague information, who is this mysterious other, as in, namely a title purported to have been made by another? And who is this mysterious other, as in, namely a motor vehicle inspection approval notice purported to have been made by another? There is no other. My name was on the bill of sale for my car, and my name was on the inspection notice for my car, and the use of my name and my property is not a crime. Having been through this nightmare for over 4 years, treated like a mere animal or piece of property, a slave, my conclusion of the way I've been treated by the Highway Patrol, the Lawrence County prosecutors, now Judge Mark A. Stevens, can be summed up like this. How dare you think you can use a name other than what we tell you your name is? We own you, and we will tell you what your name is. I'm a man nearing 60 years old. I have a wife of more than 30 years, 5 children, who all have names but do not have state-issued birth certificates, numerous other relatives and friends that all know me as Charlie Stewart, and I now have people that I never knew before come into my life and demand that I use a name they choose for me or be imprisoned for refusing to do so. This is supposed to be America, not China. Then I ended it with respectfully submitted Charlie Stewart. My wife and I filed this document with the appeals court 5 days ago. I wondered how long it would take for the appeals court to make a ruling, or would they even make a ruling, or would they continue what's been going on for over 4.5 years? A railroad job where I'm not even allowed to speak my side of the story. Well, to my utter shock, I just happened to look at the court docket. And guess what I saw? It took them less than 24 hours to order these men in Lawrence County to provide, in writing, a written response to the allegations, and a written response as to why the writ should not issue, and a written response as to why the matter of Natal has lost effect. And essentially, they've given them 4 days to provide a written response. And guess what? Guess what name the appeals court used in their filings? The name Charlie Stewart is the only name they used. They didn't even use Charlie Stewart and or Charles L. Johnson. They used Charlie Stewart only. We received a copy of the order in the mail yesterday, and guess who it was addressed to? It was addressed to Charlie Stewart. Well, I'm out of time. I hope you can see what's finally taking place after 4.5 years of standing and fighting for our king. Praise God. It looks like victory is imminent.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.